We are joined by the president of the Edmonton Elks. Chris Presson joins us. Of course, they unveiled their new name and logo yesterday. Chris, welcome to the show. We played an elk call earlier today, just in the first segment. Now, I'm not sure it's like the greatest sound. Like, I have no problem with the name, but I think there's better promotional stuff with, like, you know, the rack or the antlers. Is that kind of where you're thinking? Or are you guys going to be handing out, like, elk call horns?
Well, I practiced the elk call horn, the elk call in the shower this morning, and mine probably sounded worse than yours, but nonetheless, yes, there's a number of things we can do with it. The extendability of the brand is one of the reasons the name was chosen, and certainly you've come up with a number of items in the last 20 seconds that would be in play.
Yeah, because, like, to the previous name, there wasn't a lot necessarily you could do with the Eskimos name overall, you know, and obviously, of course, once it became insensitive for a lot of people, well, then even less. So do you feel there's more opportunity for your team to have a little fun and connect your moniker with your fans in different ways?
That's exactly right. We were very limited with the EE, and while it's still a part of our ecosystem of branding, it really put us in a box on what we could and couldn't do. Certainly now with a new primary mark, a new secondary mark, a new word mark, and then the refurbished EE, there's a lot more we can do. And again, we can extend the brand a lot more, not just from a marketing standpoint, Jason, but in stadium as well.
Now, speaking of the EE, Chris, we saw the new logo. Are you going to maintain the EE logo and it will see it back in time? Or or are you going to go with one logo moving forward?
No, we'll use all four of them, just time and place dependent. Our helmet, which everyone seems to love, will be as it was seen yesterday. It will have antlers on the side. But there will be a time and place where we will bring in the EE at some point in some fashion. It's just a matter of over time where it fits best and with what other logo.
Yeah, okay. And that makes sense. Lots of teams have numerous logos, and it makes sense. You unveil a new one. Obviously, that's going to be the focal point moving forward. What was second and third? Like, what were the other that were close finalists? Or was Elks automatically like a runaway winner?
No, I mean, the animals rose to the top, right? There were some other names that were at the forefront in some capacities. But when you looked at the overall interest that the majority of the people had, it was the three animals. It was Elks, Eagles, and Elk Hounds. And whenever we got our surveys back, Elks continued to rank first or second in every category, with our players number one, with our coaches number one, with our fans number one or number two, with any age group, socioeconomic background, living quarters within the city, it doesn't matter where you live, everybody had Elks one or two. So it quickly became an overall number one. And then again, the more we talked about it, about the extendability of the brand, and the more we looked at what we could do with the various logos, the more it became a key component for us and obviously the chosen name.
And, you know, here we are, it's June 2nd, and I know that, you know, hopefully in just over 2 months' time, the season will begin, which is crucial for, you know, the CFL business, like a lot of other businesses. People want to get back to normal. Is it 25,000, 20? Is there a certain number of fans that you need to have in the building to make it a success financially?
No doubt. I mean, we're a gate-driven league, and I feel really good about the August 5th kickoff. And clearly at that point, the provincial leaders and health officers believe that we will be in phase three, and phase three means no restrictions. No restrictions means full capacity. With that said, yes, we have to have a certain number of fans. Break-even wouldn't even be the words I would use at this point, considering the amount of loss we sustained last year without a season. So even if we were to break even this year, we really have to look at the $7 million we lost last year, and that's got to come into play. We need to eventually get that back simply because we're community-owned, as you know. We don't have an owner, so we don't have another pocket to go to.
Chris Presson joins us, president of the Edmonton Elks. Joins us on the show. Chris, what was the major form of that loss? Because you didn't have to pay most of your players' salaries. Where did the majority of the $7 million loss come from?
Well, you just don't have any revenue coming in. So even though we skinnied down everything we could, you still have fixed costs that are a part of that. And, you know, even though we muscled the number down significantly, $14, $15, $16 million, you still have to cover what's left. And there wasn't very much left, and that's just what it cost to run our business effectively. And even in a bare-bones staff and a bare-bones time, we literally cut everything that we possibly could.
Chris, you've obviously been in professional sports for quite some time in different leagues, and I look at the CFL, and the CFL has a lot of real grassroots fans. You know, they love kind of the relatability at times to the people in Grey Cup. You can walk around at these different events and talk to coaches and players and, you know, bump into them, and fans really enjoy that. Where the CFL, and I'm a big fan of it, where I feel that one area they got to improve is their internet presence to give fans who just want to search for information, like protected lists or even just showing who are free agents without exposing what their salary number is. Has that been talked about at a league-wide level? And do you think that will ever happen in the near future so fans can every day go look and say, hey, I know these Elks are free agents at the end of the season?
I think it's a great point. I think it should. Has it come up in deep conversation? No, it hasn't, but not because the league office doesn't care. It's only hasn't come up recently simply because of what everybody else and ourselves have been dealing with. But I think it's a great point. We don't have a business without the fans. So if that's something that you're telling me the fans want on a regular basis, makes sense to me. I know other leagues that I've been a part of and that I'm a fan of. I do the same thing that you're suggesting, so why wouldn't we do it here? I think we have to not only have a better internet presence, I think we just have to be a bit more open. And I think you'll see that over the next 18 to 24 months. It's just going to take us a bit to get to the recovery stage and get our legs back under us. And then after that, full steam ahead.
Chris Preston joins. Chris, could you do that? Like, there's a league-wide level of things, but do you plan on doing it just that specifically at, you know, for your own franchise? How do you feel you can be more open with the Elks?
Yeah, I think we can do what you just suggested. I mean, fans looking to see who's free agents without obviously disclosing their salary. I think just better and deeper information would be what people are looking for. You can go just about anywhere in any sport now and find about anything you want. And for us to be a bit closed off is certainly something that we need to work on. And I'm glad you brought it up. It's a good self-reflection time and something that we should look at.
So, Chris, now we got 2 months potentially to the season. I know there's been some stories online of players got to, you know, report for quarantines in July. Is it confirmed there's not going to be any preseason games? There'll just be a little bit extended of training camp scrimmages. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it is. I don't think we'll have time to have any full-blown preseason games just due to the timing of it all. I think the most important thing, as you've kind of alluded to, is just making sure that we kick off and that we kick off August 5th like we've planned to. And I think some of the other things that fans are used to and that we'd like to have as well would probably go by the wayside this year just so that we can make sure that we're dialed in on the time within training camp we have. Clearly, at this point, the quarantine period certainly affects us in every way, shape, and form. So we're hoping that by the time we get to camp, a lot of that, if not all of it, will be gone, and it'll make much easier for us to transition our players, particularly from the United States, as well as our coaches, back to Canada.
Yeah, that's obviously going to be the big challenge. Like, the quarantine process, that in itself just is going to increase your costs, I would assume, because when the players come in, do you guys have to quarantine them, or do they quarantine on their own?
No, we have to do it. We have to provide for them, both from a rooming perspective and a meal perspective. And it's not just the cost of it, it's the timing. And whenever you don't have an opportunity to have your team together and you've got, you know, a new head coach as we do, with a relatively new staff as well, with new systems, and you're trying to teach your players on Zoom what the offense is going to be, it presents challenges, right? It's not that it's not impossible, because a lot of teams that have played have done that through this pandemic, but it certainly makes things a lot more challenging when you have a new coach.
And have you seen a schedule? Are you going to play every team, or are we going to see a heavy West versus West and East versus East schedule?
I've seen it tentative scheduled, but I would be wrong to comment on it because it's so fluid at this point. We're still working on dates, and those dates mean we may have a different opponent than what I've seen. Certainly, it's all dependent upon what public health officials across the country say. And if things on the East Coast continue to improve, then great. We would probably have a more balanced schedule throughout. If things on the East Coast don't improve, then it would make some sense to have East teams come west at the beginning of the season so that the eastern part of the country can clear out, get vaccinated, get their numbers down. But again, all yet to be determined based upon what those numbers are in terms of vaccinations, hospitalizations, and COVID cases themselves.
Is there a possibility that you could see some East teams kind of temporarily relocate, like we saw the San Jose Sharks and, you know, Toronto Blue Jays and others, where they would potentially just, you know, relocate and you maybe have two teams playing out of Commonwealth for a month?
Yeah, never say never. It's certainly a possibility. I'm hoping that we don't have to have a deep discussion on that, but it's certainly I can't say no to that. I would be surprised at this point, just based upon the numbers we're seeing across the country and how they're going down, if that were to happen. But it's certainly something that we would have to consider if things don't improve.
And one last one for you, Chris. I appreciate your time. You mentioned we saw the antlers are on the helmet. That's unique. I'm hearing that there might be a new jersey next year. So is that going to be logo, I would assume, would be part of it. But are you going to change the colors? Is it going to be a little bit more yellow than green, or the colors stay the same?
Yeah, whatever we do, we would definitely not change the colors. And might it be one color than the other? Yes. I don't know that it would be the gold. But we've looked at some designs for years to come, and we're really far from a finished product. So I would be jumping the gun a bit if I told you what I knew was coming the next year or the year after that. You know, we have quite a process in terms of an 18-month process just to get our jerseys designed and in place in terms of ordering for a season that's 18 months down the line. So there are some timelines and some little intricacies within that will limit us in what we can do possibly over the next 2 years. But we have looked at various designs over time, and I like what I see so far.
Chris, we appreciate your time, and we hope we see the CFL season kicking off in just over 2 months on August 5th.
You got it, Jason. Thanks for having me.